Welcome to The Week Ahead in Russia, RFERL's Monday podcast about significant developments and upcoming events in Moscow and beyond. I'm Mike Eckel, senior correspondent here in Prague, filling in for our regular host, Steve Gutterman. Today's topic, Afghanistan. The Taliban takeover of Kabul. The chaos at the city's airport as tens of thousands of Afghans try to flee. The frantic efforts by the United States and other nations to evacuate their nationals. This story has dominated headlines and topped broadcasts around the world for more than a week now. That's also true for Russia, where the Kremlin is watching developments in Kabul very closely. Of course, Russia has a complicated history in Afghanistan, going back to the decade-long Soviet invasion in the 1980s, and the Mujahideen resistance that later gave way to civil war, and then the first Taliban takeover in 1996. Nature, of course, abhors a vacuum. Like much of the rest of the world, Moscow abhors a vacuum in Afghanistan, particularly if the chaos starts to spin out of control and starts seeping northward, through Central Asia or into the Russian landmass itself. Like many seasoned Russian correspondents, Mark Krutov of RFERL's Russian service has been watching developments closely, and he's joining me now to discuss how the Afghan situation is looking from Moscow's perspective. Dobro pozdravat, Mark.
Hi, Mike. Thanks for inviting me today.
So, on Sunday, President Vladimir Putin appeared at a convention for the United Russia Political Party, and there he spoke briefly about Afghanistan, passing remarks, and specifically about Afghans fleeing Afghanistan and about the evacuation effort. Putin criticized an idea from some Western countries to relocate refugees from Afghanistan to neighboring Central Asian countries, like Uzbekistan or Kazakhstan or Tajikistan, while their visas to the United States and Europe are being processed. Putin said he didn't want, quote, militants showing up here under the cover of refugees, unquote. So, Mark, talk us through this. Is this just xenophobic fear-mongering from Putin, or is there something to his statements that belie a bigger concern for Moscow?
I'd like to clarify first that Putin also added that he doesn't want these militants to show up in order not to repeat what happened in Russia in the 90s and the beginning of 2000s.
And what happened in the 90s? Let's recall.
That's absolutely inaccurate. He obviously is referring to Chechnya and related Chechen wars and terrorist attacks in Russian cities, but the cause of this rise of the terrorism was mainly connected with those wars, not some things happening somewhere far away from Russia, for example, in Afghanistan. Yes, when Soviets retracted from Afghanistan, they were followed by many Afghan refugees, especially those people whom they supported there, likewise currently after United States withdrawal. But those refugees never became a major headache for USSR or subsequently Russia. What Putin may be meaning is the threat that militants will show up first in Central Asian former Soviet Union republics and then cause the rise of radical Islam moods in Russia. The first is quite likely, not now, but a little bit later when Taliban will sort things out in Afghanistan itself. And it may become a real problem for Russia and those Central Asian countries, but because Russian troops guard their borders with Afghanistan. As for referring to Europe, for example, admitting refugees, I think there are very small numbers, like 1,000 or 2,000 people who will wait for their U.S. transition approval in Kosovo or Albania. So I think it's not the case. It's a nonsense. Why on earth a refugee from a European country, even if we speak about this Kosovo or Albania, why on earth they will want to go to Russia instead of heading to United States or Germany or somewhere? Their final destination of dream is not Russia, of course. So I'm not quite sure what Putin speaks about here, but it's very far from reality. And I think the fact that he said this all during this United Russia conference means that these words are aimed at an internal audience which doesn't know a lot about Afghanistan and the processes which this Taliban takeover will cause.
Of course, for internal processes, there's an election coming up next month, the Duma, National Duma elections. So indeed a domestic constituency is his audience at this Congress.
Yes, and I spoke with some experts about does Russia really face the rise of Islamic extremism after all this happens, and they say no. The rise of Islamic extremism, the roots of this rise, the roots of this extremism are usually low employment, poverty in those Caucasian regions, and so on. But of course, not some refugees from Afghanistan.
So let's talk about Central Asia in a moment. But let's come back to the nettlesome issue that the fact that the Taliban, if it were to consolidate its authority in Kabul and stake a claim to being the government of Afghanistan, within Russia, the Taliban is considered a terrorist organization under Russian law. So Russia will have to kind of figure out how to thread that needle about recognizing the Taliban or removing that designation and then having relations with the Taliban. That's kind of a tricky issue they'll have to dance around.
Every expert in Russia, including so-called armchair expert, which I personally belong to, when speaking about this, so everybody agrees that this designation has left just a couple of weeks to last. Russian officials are so laudatory when it comes to Taliban nowadays that everyone is wondering, even some pro-Kremlin pundits, why it's been still called a terrorist organization.
Right.
As for now, this designation of Taliban as a terrorist organization causes a lot of comparisons that show Kremlin's hypocrisy, like why it's not okay when Ukrainian people decide to oust their corrupted president, and why it's totally fine when Taliban does so.
Yeah.
So in my vague assumption, Moscow seems to be so happy about United States' failure in Afghanistan, and it's being so happy about the possibility to show its, again, internal audience all aspects of this failure, that it tries to use every single possibility to show how cool and wise and strong they are in comparison with the weak United States, that they hardly think about what they will have to say if those relationships, this honeymoon with Taliban will end.
So let's turn to Central Asia. You referred to it in passing, and I mentioned it in the introduction. Moscow was clearly worried about the possibility of instability spilling into Central Asia. Tajikistan is a country that most often people talk about as being the most fragile, the weak. The president is ailing. There he's trying to figure out some sort of succession. What's the message we're hearing from Moscow with regards to instability from Afghanistan bleeding into Central Asia?
Russian foreign ministry officials say there is no immediate threat, but they reassure they are monitoring the situation closely and they are ready to help Tajikistan and Uzbekistan. I, for example, personally is more worried about the situation in Uzbekistan, maybe because I see that during last years this country made a few, maybe small, but steps to democratic development. So experts are saying at the same time that Taliban may ask Russia for something in exchange for being quiet near the borders of these countries. But we should look at the facts. We should face facts. The fact is that Russia, alongside with Tajikistan and Uzbekistan, started quite serious military exercises just 2 weeks ago.
Right.
So it shows us that whatever Russian officials say, they really understand that the situation may cause problems for Russia and for those Central Asian countries there, where Russia wants to keep its soldiers there safe, soldiers who guard the border.
How many troops do we are based in Russia now as part of the 201st motorized battalion at the base there? Do we know
in
how
Tajikistan?
Many
troops? In Tajikistan? No, I don't know exactly, unfortunately. Hmm. Yeah. But I think these troops may be expanded at any moment.
Right.
Yeah.
So the last question about Afghanistan has to do with drugs, illegal narcotics. Russia has long been a major conduit for things like opium and heroin and traffickers bringing drugs to European markets. It's not the only conduit, of course, but it has been a major concern in the past. What's your sense? How central of a worry for policy for Moscow at this point?
I don't think much will change here, to be frank. Narcotics flew in from Afghanistan to Europe via Russian and Central Asian states, even when United States-supported government was in power. All its efforts to stop people from growing and producing narcotics were more or less unsuccessful. And now when so-called upgraded Taliban says that they will strictly ban narcotics production, nobody seriously believed them. By the way, they made this statement when they were in Moscow, one of Taliban officials. Moscow, as I said earlier, on official level is totally supporting Taliban regime now, and therefore there are no worries, at least expressed by officials.
In that regard.
And as for experts, they say that nothing really will change seriously because they expect this flow of narcotics to continue.
Yeah. Well, it's a really fluid situation in Kabul, and clearly there's a lot going on behind the scenes, and we'll have to wait and see how things develop in the coming days and months, particularly if opponents to the Taliban coalesce into a genuine challenge, as what appears to be happening in the north. So we'll have to see what happens. Mark, спасибо огромное. Always great to have you on.
Thank you, Mike.
That's it for us, folks. This is RFERL's Week Ahead in Russia. Thank you all for tuning in.